Our scripture reading for this hour's lesson is found in Luke 24. Luke chapter 24. And we'll be reading for now just verse 13. Luke 24 and 13. Luke records, "And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs. Once again, we are glad that you are here. It is a good day to worship God in spirit and in truth. We're so appreciative of you and your desire to be here today. Normally we would say it's the end of the month, but we get 5 Sundays in March, so we still have one more to go. But I'm glad that we get to spend this one together in worship to our Lord. A man who had been married, well, most of his life, was just sitting there one day reminiscing, and his wife said, "Honey, what are you thinking about?" And he said, "Oh, you don't want to know." And she said, "No, tell me, what have you been thinking about?" And he said, "Well, I'm just thinking. They often say that 'I am' is the shortest sentence in the English language." And she said, "Yeah, that's right." And he said, "Does that make 'I do' the longest?" Troy liked it. It's all that matters. Troy's my go-to. No, I'm just kidding. I'm glad to see you again, Troy. Thank you for being here and all of us being here. That man sounded like he had no hope. I want to talk about hope today. But I want to talk about hope in maybe a different way than you may not have thought about it before, and maybe make a wonderful passage in Scripture just a little more personal. I hope you have a Bible open in front of you, because we're going to spend the majority of our time in Luke 24. So if you don't have one, get one out. We're going to go through part of this passage. And as we do so, this is a thought that the world is probably going to miss in the next few weeks. If you look on the calendar, next Sunday is Easter. That's just the way it falls this year. And there are a lot of religious bodies today are celebrating what they call Palm Sunday, which was the Sunday before Jesus was crucified on that Friday morning, where the people shouted on Sunday, "Hosanna, Hosanna, King of the Jews." And on Friday, they yelled out, "Crucify Him, crucify Him." Same people, about a 5-day span. The story we're going to talk about today happens after that. It happens after the resurrection. And I want to put focus on that, if you will. But as we do so, I want you to think about a time in your life where it seemed that maybe all hope was gone. And I hope you haven't been at that point in your life, but we do have fleeting moments, don't we? Where it seems like nothing's going our way, all hope is gone, woe is me, what can I do? We just want to hang our heads in shame. What we see here is on the evening of the resurrection, so this would be Sunday evening, a couple of the disciples of Jesus are trudging home. They're sorrowful. They are sad, if you will. That's what we see here. "Behold, the same day went two out from a village called Emmaus," not too far, furlongs up to about 1/8 of a mile. 70, that's not that long, not that far, I should say, away from Jerusalem. And notice here, they talked of all the things which had happened. "And it came to pass that as they continued to commune together and reason, Jesus finally draws himself near and goes unto them, but their eyes were shut, that they would not know him." We learn from verse 21 that these people had hoped that something might have happened. They had hoped that Jesus the Christ was the Redeemer of Israel, but they saw him die. And they had a misplaced hope because they didn't piece all the puzzle pieces together. So the fire of their devotion was extinguished. They are sorrowful, if you will. But then Jesus comes and changes everything for them. These are people who had known Christ, and then all hope is gone. Because the one that they looked up to, the one that they thought would redeem them from this oppression, is gone. They didn't understand that he needed to die in order to culminate God's ultimate plan for the redemption of man. But I like Luke's account because it's a beautiful, moving story with tremendous spiritual applications. I want to talk four things about hope, and they all start with the letter R. But I want us to stay primarily until we get on down, primarily in our text, okay? So keep in mind, Jesus Christ has been resurrected. But these people, verse 16, their eyes were shut. They were not willing to see, not that their eyes were physically shut, but their understanding would not allow them to look and see that this is Christ in front of them. Let's talk about pilgrims of hope. Number one, hope is renounced. Let's read our text, 17 through 24 of Luke 24. And Jesus said unto them, what manner of communication are you that you have one to another as you walk and are sad? Why are you talking and walking like you're sad? And one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem? Have you not known the things which are come to pass in these past few days? All right, I get that. If you just happen to be coming into Jerusalem on that Sunday evening that ends that week, the Passover week, you wouldn't know everything that had happened. And so they think Jesus is just some stranger walking by. And he said unto them, verse 19, what things? And they said unto him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, he was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. And how the chief priest and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. They are recounting the story to the man that the story's about. I find that interesting, don't you? He knows what happened, but they don't think he knows. So he retells them the story. But look at how verse 21 is so sad. It's past tense. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. There's people that have no hope. They miss the resurrection. Yea, and certain women of our company made us astonished. They were early at the sepulcher. When they found not his body, they came saying that they had seen a vision of angels and seen that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulcher and found it even so as the women had said. But they don't see the angels. But they don't see Jesus. What do we see here? These two disciples had left Jerusalem before the women's story of the empty grave could fully be investigated. They left too soon. They had to get back to Emmaus, and so they just say, well, the tomb's empty. Maybe it was grave robbers. We really don't know. I mean, I guess he could have come back from the dead, but we don't know. We haven't seen evidence of him. It could have been grave robbers. Once again, we don't know. But they're sad. In essence, you could say they were going home from a funeral. You ever left a funeral and after the funeral's over, you just get in your car and you're just still sad. You just have been around a lot of other people maybe who were sad. Maybe it was somebody who was unprepared to meet their Lord. Maybe it was an unexpected death, whatever the case may be. And everybody else there was sad and you just get in the car and you're kind of sad as well. They're going home from a funeral. Now notice, they once saw in Jesus a vision of hope. Hope to redeem them. But now all hope is gone. Their hopes were buried in that brand new tomb, which no man had laid in. They may have even watched their hope be buried in the tomb. So woe is me. We see hope is renounced. They had hope, but that hope is fleeing. And no doubt as they're talking and walking on the way back, they get sadder and sadder, and their hope leaves them. That's number one. Let's let the story continue, though, with our second R. Hope is going to be reconsidered. And pardon me while I wet my whistle, because I want you to hear this. Verse 25, 6, and 7. Then Jesus said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all things that the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in the scriptures the things concerning himself. I have verse 27 underlined. And every time I read through there, I'm envious of these people traveling on the road to Emmaus. Because I would have loved, there are many speeches and many things that the Bible records happening but doesn't record the speech thereof. I would have loved to have heard Philip's sermon to the eunuch, although I know what he preached because I know the outcome. He preached Jesus Christ. But even more so, I would have loved to hear this, because this is Jesus preaching a sermon about himself using the scriptures. He said, I fulfilled this one, I fulfilled this one. That's what he says. Beginning at Moses, so he goes starting with the old law, and all the prophets, so you know he spent time in Isaiah and in Jeremiah and in Daniel and all these, he expounded unto them all the things in the scriptures concerning himself. Wouldn't that have just been a marvelous sermon to hear? I fulfilled this when? I fulfilled that when? See, next, their hope is reconsidered, because at this moment, Jesus began traveling with them. But remember, verse 16, their eyes were shut. They wouldn't see, no doubt partially due to divine intervention. But part of the problem may have also been their own hearts. God may have allowed them not to see it so Christ could tell them these things, but that seed of doubt was probably already there. They were not able to believe and see Jesus, but that changes. Notice here, Jesus takes them to the scriptures to show them that the cross was not a defeat of the truth. It was a pledge of victory. Say that again. Jesus took them to the scriptures to show the cross was not a defeat of the truth. It was a pledge of the victory. What's a pledge? It's a promise of something to come, right? I pledge I will do this. I will fulfill this. Victory came to us as Christians through the cross. Jesus didn't just die. It wasn't just some other man. Other people had died on the cross. There were two people with him that died on the cross. And their death was just a death. But the death of Jesus was so much more. It was a wonderful, marvelous event. As a side note, if you ever wondered what the best way to encourage someone to have hope or to show someone what is true, go back to the scriptures. Say, don't take my word for it. Jesus went back to the scriptures. He was the fulfillment of the law, after all. So he took them back to the scriptures. We see now they're going to reconsider their hope. It was lost. Now it's starting. It's almost like a coal that's a little far out from the fire. You push it in, it starts wanting to warm back up again. Hope is reconsidered. Let's go to our next one. Hope's going to be rekindled. Let's keep going, verse 28. And as they drew near to the village of Emmaus, whither they went, he made it as though he would have gone farther. But they constrained him, saying, Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread, blessed it, brake, and gave to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us on the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? Now what's happening? They're going to keep going. They realize, kind of, this man's something. He's preaching to them about Jesus. They like Jesus. He would have kept going. But they said, just come into the village with us. It would not have been safe to keep traveling throughout the night, especially as a solo journey. You would have wanted at least another person for safety and security. So they say, come on in with us. And I want you to notice verse 30. Now, the Bible doesn't just come right out and say this what happens, but I want you to put on your logic cap. Jesus Christ, when he rose from the grave, was he a spirit or was he a human with a body? He was a human with a body. How do I know? Verse 30, he ate. Spirits can't eat. Every time Jesus brought someone back from the dead, or the apostles do in the book of Acts, they give them food to eat. That's a little aside, but that's to prove that they're not just a spirit. Jesus here is a fleshly human being once again. What do we see here? Hope is impossible without an encounter with Jesus. Had Jesus not met them on the road to Emmaus, they would have had no hope. That hope would have just died away. And it's not just that their hope was rekindled. It was met with an embodiment of their hope. What happened? Jesus Christ, he was with them. And now their brain starts to work. Because he started to expound the scriptures. Hold your place. I told you we're going to deviate for just a moment. Hold your place here. Run these references. John chapter 5 and verse 39. Just over a page or two. John chapter 5 and verse 39. Jesus says, search the scriptures. For in them you think ye have eternal life. They are they which testify of me. Number one, their hope was rekindled in the scriptures because he showed them, this is speaking about me. Now they, when he showed it, they didn't get it. But now they get it. Number one, they knew through the scriptures. Think about this. Cleopas and the other that were traveling, they very well could have been in that upper room just the Thursday before. When Jesus Christ, after the meal, he takes the bread, he blesses it, breaks it, and says, take, eat, this is my body. And then he takes the cup after the bread, blesses it, drink ye all of it. They could have been with him in that upper room. And in our text, when he breaks that bread and prays and gives it to them, it's like it clicks. They say, we've been through this before with somebody else. Notice here, Matthew 26 and 29. That would be in the supper. That's what I was just alluding to. Matthew 26 and verse 29. Jesus said, but I say unto you, I will drink not henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day that I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. So they knew after this meal, something was going to happen. Think about this last one in the saints. We talked about the scriptures in the supper. What about the saints? We're back in Luke 24 for this one. And we pick up verse 36, which is right after where our lesson text ends. Luke 36, as they thus spake, Jesus stood in the midst and said, peace be unto you. They were terrified and affrighted, but suppose they'd seen a spirit. He said, why are you troubled? Why do your thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, it is I myself, handle me and see. For a spirit has not flesh and bones as you see me have. And when they had thus spoken, he showed him his hands and feet. And while they yet believed him not for joy, wondered, he said, do you have any meat? This is in the assembly. And the love of God's people. He is seen among them, and their hope is rekindled. He shows back up again. When he's there with them in that village of Emmaus, their hope is rekindled. It is growing. But our final hope, our final R, is hope is going to be revealed. Look here with me in Luke 24, 33 through 36. Excuse me. And they rose up the same hour, returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11, the apostles, gathered together, and those that were with him, saying, the Lord is risen indeed, and hath appeared unto Simon. And they told what things were done in the way and how he was known of them in the breaking of bread. See, he did it in a way that Jesus always broke the bread. Have you ever been with people and they always do things in a certain way? Maybe you've got a relative and they always serve Thanksgiving meal the same way. And if you ever go eat with them, that's just how they eat. But you know them by that distinct characteristic, or maybe they hold whatever, but they are known by those idiosyncrasies. Evidently, Christ was known for the way he broke this bread. That's what we learn there in verse 35. They knew it. In verse 36, Jesus, as they're speaking, Jesus stood in the midst of them and said, "Peace be unto you." Now remember, he had just disappeared, and now he shows back up again. You might say that hope makes itself visible. If there was ever a doubt, now he's here. Now he shows himself back up again. They return to Jerusalem. They found the 11 there. And the 11, the apostles, they were told, "You wait." And they were waiting. And then when these others come back and say, "We've seen Christ," and now all of a sudden, Christ shows back up. Now remember, they had left Jerusalem. Put this in your mind. They had left Jerusalem on Sunday evening, and they traveled to the village of Emmaus. And as soon as they realize it's Christ and that he's gone, they hightail it back to Jerusalem to share the hope and joy with others. See, they could not keep that hope to themselves. Shouldn't we be the same way? When we know the good news of salvation, how Jesus Christ, his death upon the cross, can forgive your sins and mine and allow us to have an eternal home in heaven with him, how in the world can we hold that to ourselves? How in the world can we keep that? We can't. We should want to shout it from the rooftops. "Jesus saves," one of the songs we sing. They go hurriedly back to Jerusalem. We talk about pilgrims of hope. They were pilgrims. They were going. They began their journey with hope that was dead. But they end their journey with hope that's alive. That could only be accomplished through Jesus Christ, because no one else could defeat death. No one else could expound unto them eloquently the scriptures of how they all applied to himself. So they're pilgrims of hope. I think about the song, "When I am sad, he makes me glad. He's my friend." Oh, how wonderful when they realized it was Jesus must have felt. That their hope, it was renounced. It was basically lost. They had a little hope. Because he could come back. He said he's going to come back. He could. But it's really hard for us to fathom things that we just can't understand. And they couldn't understand how he could come back. So their hope was renounced. And then they start to reconsider it. Just ever so slightly reconsider it. And then it becomes rekindled. And then it becomes revealed. Now I want you to understand this as we close. Merely knowing about the resurrection will not fill your heart with hope. Because they knew he was supposed to rise again from the grave on the third day. And they said these things happened 3 days ago. They knew all about the resurrection. But they didn't put it into practice. We must do more than that. We must make an application to our lives. So at the beginning of our lesson, I asked you to think about a time when it seemed that all hope was gone, that maybe you didn't see the light at the end of the tunnel. I want your hope then to be renounced. Reconsider that even on my worst days, Lamentations 3 says that God's promises are new every morning. Even when I'm having a day where nothing is going my way. I woke up on the wrong side of the bed, and from that moment I woke up to the moment I put my head back on that pillow, nothing ever went right. And I know I'm only talking about me. You've never had those days, and luckily for you. But when they come, Remember that hope can be reconsidered. And it can be rekindled. And one of the best ways to do that is just by going back to the Scriptures. Reading those beautiful passages of hope that encourage you and encourage me that Christ is victorious over all. Hope is then revealed in that great promise. And we too can be pilgrims of hope. I hope you've paid attention. More importantly, though, I hope this lesson can encourage you. Maybe you're not having a bad day right now. But when you do, I hope this will encourage you to press on. I also hope this will encourage you to respond to the one who defeated death, to the one who showed up on the road to Emmaus and expounded the Scriptures and broke the bread with them. Jesus is tenderly calling. He is calling for you to be obedient. If you're not a Christian, hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, being baptized, go down that watery grave, come out a new creature alive in Christ, and then we remain faithful to the very end, which is where most of us throughout the rest of our lives fall in that category. Remaining faithful to the end. If you're not faithful, you need to repent of those sins. We're here. We'd love to pray with you and pray for you that your hope can be restored once again. If we can help you in any way at all, wherever that need may be, we humbly ask you, let it be known while we stand.